الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before starting today, mashallah, we see the benefits the brothers are getting, and that encourages us so much. And this little bit of what brothers informed us, one brother phoned today, and it's almost everyone today, there is hardly anyone excluded to know about the sports, especially the WC now. He says, Alhamdulillah, I can't believe it myself. I didn't even worry about one goal, about any results whatsoever. And so today, otherwise, this is in the blood of everyone. If you don't follow it closely, you want to know who's making it to the next rounds, who's making it to the finals, at least know who won, Alhamdulillah. And this is young people in whose blood all sports is so much. May Allah save us from all this fitness. Similarly, one young brother wrote, and the guna which particularly young people, young boys are afflicted with. He said, for so many years I was afflicted with that. But by staying 10 days in the company at one time, yeah, he says, Alhamdulillah, Allah has totally relieved me of that. So to be relieved of gunas, this is the actual object, that we give up our gunas. And mashallah, how many people are getting this benefit? And we all also, though perhaps we all feel that, no, I'm still so bad, that's the right thing to feel. But inshallah, Allah will relieve us of all our ailments. And like any sick person, whatever problem, he had a boil, and it was, pus was coming out, it was paining. When it's gone, he feels so nice and relieved. So all our spiritual ailments are even worse. And when they go, we won't be able to believe what enjoyment we get. And also, as far as our thoughts are concerned, but that at a later stage, one category that has to be discussed also is of superstition. That is also thoughts that we get. Superstition. And so many people are plagued with the superstition also. And there is absolutely no room in Islam for superstition whatsoever. And it is referred to as shirk also. So we should be very careful about this, inshallah. At a later stage, we will discuss that. However, with regard to food, as we had said, that it must be halalan tayyiba. Halal, and for the Rasuls, that Allah didn't refer to halal also. Kulu mina tayyibat. That is, there is no question that it must be halal. That is 100% it must be. But over and above halal, it must be tayyib also. That is, there mustn't be doubt also in it. And the other thing is, it must be health food also. And then the next thing again after that, it must be, as Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, delicious food also. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, food which you enjoy, you will digest, your stomach will digest it easily. So anyway, the food must be halal also, it must be tayyib also. It must be, there must be no doubt in it being halal also, and it must be healthy food also. That is also very important, that we eat healthy, wholesome food. The other important thing is, when the food is like that, then the method of eating is also very important. We will explain a few aspects about the method of eating. If you eat the best food, but you're not eating it in the correct way, also you're not going to get the benefit. So it is necessary to know that. And this has been discussed in quite detail in the Kitab al-Ta'am. Anyone who wants to refer to all the details, etc., will find it there. And besides that, a few aspects that food we should try and eat. After all, we talk so much of sunnat, but we confine it that we got a topi, beard, kurta, so I'm in sunnat. But our eating, we're still eating at the table. Or some of us, we have our meals on the floor. Very few. It is also unfortunately, as well, we in the Khanka, we eat on the floor. We go in Jamaat, we eat on the floor. But when we come back, again it's back to the table again. And many of us, if we are eating a meal or two on the floor, but like breakfast have to be at the breakfast nook. For whatever reason, but breakfast can only take place there. You can't have breakfast on the floor. No, this should not be the case. Sunnat is in everything. Sunnat is not only when we out in Jamaat, then we show everyone we're doing everything according to Sunnat, or we in the Khanqah, but it must be at all times. If somebody is helpless, it's different completely. If somebody has got a problem sitting down, there's no problem, he sits on a chair, he sits on top and he eats. There's no problem with that. But this is for the general people who don't have problems. And then, also, once we were in reunion, and Hazrat was invited by Maulana Rashid Buzurg Marhum, and the room wasn't so big, and he had invited quite a few people, so the laying out of everything was quite congested. When Hazrat came, he noticed that the dastarkhan was laid, the tablecloth, and next to it, as commonly also, and with good intentions we do it, we put blankets to make it comfortable. But then the blanket happens to be higher than the dastarkhan. And Hazrat said, I can't sit higher than the food. The food, Allah's ni'mat, and the dastarkhan is a royal dastarkhan. Food which has come directly from Allah. He sent it for us. And we sat higher than the food. So Hazrat started picking up the blankets to sit down. And Hazrat's nature was of a very royal type. He was very choosy. By nature he was. But he said to sit on the hard floor. There wasn't a carpet also. He sat down on the hard floor, but he said, I cannot sit higher than the food. So if we put blankets, so see that the same height is of the under the dastarkhan also. So that you don't sit higher than the food. So there is also which we don't pay attention to. It is very important also. Then once we were in Malawi, and they informed us that the food is ready. So when Hazrat went there, he saw there is also a thing when we're still not acquainted of how to eat Islamically. So they had put one sheet down, a big sheet, few sheets, and on the same sheet was the plates also. In other words, the food was coming there, and you must sit on the same sheet also. So then there is no dastarkhan. Dastarkhan has to be separate, which is sunnat. The sufra, the dastarkhan, that has to be separate. So Hazrat instructed me, correct this first, then I will come and call me. Then we put the dastarkhan, and we put the plates on the dastarkhan, and to sit was now on the other cloth below the dastarkhan. So even if it's 1 millimeter difference, but sit below the dastarkhan. So that is also important. Always see that when we don't know, we just put one big sheet or blankets. On there we put the plates also, and we sit also on the same level. That is also not correct. One time, by Maulana Yunus Patel, Sahab Rahmatullah Ali in Durban, Hazrat was there and Hazrat was having meals. The carpet was green color, and the dastarkhan was also green color. And I didn't know also, so after meals, I went forward to let Hazrat wash his hands with a little bowl and a jug. And I put my leg on the dastarkhan. Actually, as though Hazrat got a heart attack. How could you do that? How can you put your leg on the dastarkhan? And immediately he said, "Jis par peer nahi baith sakte, us par pair kaise rakh sakte?" On which even peer sahab cannot sit. How can you put your leg there? Peer is a man of great respect and honor. Where he also cannot sit, how can you put your leg on there? So also we should be careful when the dastarkhan is there, with our toes, etc., we touch, it's above the dastarkhan. We should try and avoid that also. The respect of the dastarkhan. One time, by Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Haqsab Rahmatullah Ali in Hardoi, there was a postmaster, he was eating. So little crumbs usually fall also. From the bread, the roti, usually there are crumbs around. And so Hazrat told him that pick up those crumbs. So he said, it's beyond me that I'm a postmaster, I'm a big man, and I must eat crumbs. This is beyond me. What a beautiful way Maulana explained to him. There is also a lesson for us. Don't become like now a big authority and you give fatwas of whether you're a kafir and you this and you that. Don't do all that. That's not our work. He explained him in such a way. He said, if the minister of post and telegraph, who is a cabinet minister in the president's cabinet, prime minister's cabinet, if he has to send you a chocolate and one piece has to fall down, what will you do? He said, I'll pick it up, clean it, eat it. Who sent it? The minister of post and telegraph, a big man, he sent it for me. Then Maulana said, this food, Allah sent it as exclusively for you. Then he understood that it came from Allah for me, so I must clean it. And that chocolate, a person will even keep the wrapper. He will even frame it, that this was sent by the minister of post and telegraph for my father, for my grand. And in generations, they'll keep it in the family and they'll frame it also. The food is sent from Allah Ta'ala. And also we should learn that when we eat, this is how one time, alhamdulillah, our friends learn with us when we go on safar, etc. We explain this and they knew how. And when there were another group of Dini brothers who were having an occasion and they decided we'll go and make khidmat, they couldn't believe that how they are eating there. The dastarkhan is dirty, the plates are dirty, so lot of food is left in the plate, etc. All the crumbs are left. A person must eat in such a way that there are no crumbs around a person. When he's finished, you eat up. And those crumbs it has come, they, it is the dowry for the hurul in, your meher. And a person who pays up front, he must get delivery. So pay up front for your hurul in. Your delivery will take place there. And also, for women, they ask that what is the, which hurul in are we going to get? Though they will also get. The hurul in for the man will be, men won't really even look at them. Your wife will be so much more beautiful than the hurul in. And when you get the most beautiful, you never look at the less beautiful. And those hurul in will be like khadimat, like workers there. So they will be working for the woman there. No woman will have to go to the kitchen to make chicken there. And no man will have to go to the shop to job. Everything will be found there. So the woman, the crumbs they will eat, it will give them beautiful children, pious, beautiful children. The crumbs, if they pick it up. So a person should eat in, we should practice this year in when we are eating, that there should be no crumbs around. It mustn't go for waste. And also don't leave food in the plate. We got a habit. We dish out too much. And like with children, we tell them, take little, little. Over and over we have to teach them. They like to dish out a lot. They can't eat it. Mummy, eat this for me now. And you must eat this, giving it to somebody else. Or they just get up and they leave. And usually then it's thrown into the dustbin. That is the worst thing that can happen. Food like that, we had Maulana Abdullah Pandor, Durwesh, Rahmatullah Ali, who should spend Ramzan and the whole day Quran Sharif. And how much Quran and what adab of Quran Sharif he should have. And if he had to make sajda-i-sahwa, he was sajda-i-tilawat. He was reading for so long, you get tired. You start feeling sleepy. He'll take the Quran, put it in the shelves. He put away his rahel, make his sajda-i-sahwa, and go and take it again. So he refreshens himself in that way. Otherwise, you can just put the Quran Sharif one side. Or after I read, I will make my sajda-i-tilawat. But he should make it there and then put the Quran Sharif away so that he can make some movement he makes. And with the food he should eat, after every, he should go the last down. And whatever people had left, or the leftovers, he should eat that food. Allah had given him such sifat, and how beautiful mot also Allah blessed him with. On Eid's day, what a beautiful mot. So anyway, so we should eat also in that way. And as far as that also is concerning, the crumbs, usually we, when we come to the dastarkhan, our women folk, Allah reward them, but perhaps they overdo things also. The way they set the dastarkhan, it is set to the T. The plates up there, and the glasses, tumblers for every person next to the plate, it looks like they use a mat's protector, exactly at 45 degrees. If it's 47, every glass is at 47 degrees. Exactly they put it like that. When they put the vegetable salads, everything they arrange it. Sometimes they mix it, sometimes all the carrots are one side, tomatoes are one side, and right in the middle some mint leaves or something, and olive on top of it, and then a small flower also. And when you go to the house, like Maulana Muhammad Mehtar said, I told him that when you do a woman, don't rush them now. Hey, we like to rush them. Hey, Hazrat is here, Maulana is here, come, hurry up. Don't rush the woman. Their pride is to serve in the best way. When we got a wedding jalsa and we dish out from the deeg, we use those bowls to dish out, or the big deeg spoons, and we just put it in the bowls anyhow. When a woman dishes out in a platter, she puts everything and arranges it again. And afterwards on top she puts the mint leaves again, or whatever else, and she takes pride in it. So all this, the dasturkhan is prepared, the food is prepared, and she takes pride in everything. So we shouldn't rush them also. And when it is, where that dasturkhan, how neat it was, and that make this muraqabah. That when I sat at the dasturkhan for 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever, I took to eat, after that it looks like a war zone. And all bones lying there one side, all this other dirt lying, crumbs lying, this lying, all just like a war zone. This is what I am. That food that was so good, so pure, clean, but the minute I made contact with it, this is what is the condition. And you go and buy a brand new latest Mercedes-Benz, BMW, top of the range, latest model. You bought it, you made your deal, you took it for a spin, you were not happy for whatever reason. You say, I want to return it. Now it's no more a new car, it's a used car. The minute it came in contact with you, now the car also is a used car, it's not a new car. And there are so many bakeries, etc., where the things you are not allowed to touch it by hand. If you touch it, you must buy it. This is what our value is. That whatever, and the food that make this muraqabah, when we go to the toilet, then think on the dasturkhan how it was set. Everything, the chicken, the mutton, everything, the biryani, everything so nice. What I made out of it. When it came in my body, this is what I made of it. That I don't want to see it, I can't smell it. It's one friend of ours we visited, and where I had to use the toilet, I found the toilet was padded, soundproof. And also, there were not one of these air fresheners, two or three there were. So I asked him, so he said, the bombs that go here, people are looking for bombs everywhere else, the amount of bombs, so we have to pad it, we have to make it soundproof also. And the smells that come, after flushing also the smells don't go away. You have to need not one air freshener, you need two, three different types. That is what I am. And I think I'm so great. This is what I made of that wonderful food that was halal tayyiba. And this is what I made out of it. So these muraqabas also we should make. One time, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was eating with Hazrat Maulana Mia Asghar Hussain, very great alim. I'll mention one other thing about him on the way, not related to the subject, but of benefit for us. There were droughts in Deoband, and there was no rain, so they decided to make Salatul Istisqa. The greatest alim, senior alim, Shaykhul Hadith, was Maulana Hussain Ahmed Madani, rahmatullah alayh. Naturally, Paul said, Hazrat, you make namaz. So he made, one day, no rain came. Second day, no rain came. And many of us might be aware, or if not aware, which is not difficult to understand, there was a great difference of opinion between the Madani group and the Thanvi group. Madani group was that India-Pakistan must not be split. It must remain one. And the Thanvi group was that Pakistan must be made. We must have a country of our own where Muslims can live freely as Muslims. And there was a lot of details, but and all these differences and that was not amongst the top people. It was, as this I will illustrate, it's amongst the ordinary people, like now about Gaza, about all this. We so worried about that, our own tilawat is not getting done. Some of us, our namazes are not being made. And the people who are marching, their solidarity is required. But on the other side, if we're not keeping rozas also, the solution is not in Israel's hand, it's not in America's hand, it's in Allah's hand only. And Allah will get happy if we keep our rozas. Now we're going marching, I can't keep roza today. And we're missing all our namazes also. How are we going to draw Allah's rahmat? So shaitan distracts us with many of these things. So anyway, the followers, they make a big hue and cry and make as though there is a big problem. And in fact, there is no problem. So yeah, just see, Maulana Madani Rahmatullah Ali, 2 days made salah to the istisqa. No rain. On the third day, Maulana was proceeding again to make. Then Maulana Mia Asghar Hussain Sahab Rahmatullah Ali was the Khalifa of Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah. He said, Hazrat, if you don't mind, I will make today. Just imagine, who will tell somebody else, such a senior alim. Hazrat said, no problem, you make today. He made, and then finished everything. Then he explained afterwards, later to Maulana. He was a great sahib, a kashf. Allah should give him news, information of things that are still going to happen. So he said, from my kashf, I made out rain is not going to come. And if you make the 3 days, people will start getting doubt in your buzurgi. That you made salatul istisqa and rain didn't come. So therefore, I took the blame on me. And I went for, I knew rain is not going to come. So I went forward and I made the namaz. So that, just say amongst them, no difference. What respect and honor they have for one another. So this was Hazrat Maulana Mia Asghar Hussain Sahab Rahmatullah. So on one occasion, Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, they were eating together. They ate mangoes when it was mango season. And mashallah, people give hadiyas to buzurgs. So they had lot of mangoes and they ate quite a few. And where he lived, this is again another great lesson also to learn, where he lived around him were poor people. And Islam teaches us, today Western capitalist system is, when you become more wealthy, you earn more, then you trek, you go to a elite area. The southern suburbs, northern suburbs, elite area, you go and live there. Islamic system is, now Allah gave you more wealth, you stay where you are. And with that extra wealth, help the poor people around you. But we won't do that. We will go and move up to our elite area, and then we live there, and our money is just for ourselves. We just live for ourselves. Rich people whom Allah gives money. Hadrat Maulana Yusuf Kandelvi Rahmatullah Ali used to say, why did Allah give us 2 eyes? One eye was enough, and Allah could put everyone's eye in the middle. We shouldn't feel it odd also. But why 2? One eye is to see our own need. And the other eye is to see the need of the poor people. But today we use both eyes for ourselves. Allah gave us 2 hands, one to see to our need, one to see to the need of the poor. But we want to eat with both ends. And we don't only eat to our stomachs full, we want the eyes also to get full. The stomach also, and storage for the future, for our generations and generations. We'll buy houses for our generations, but the poor people around us haven't got even a shelter. So this is very important. So Maulana Mia Asghar Hussain Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, after they ate the mangoes, Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Ali asked him, should I throw away the peels, the butts and the peels? So he said, do you know how to throw it away? So he said, do you need a PhD for that? And while we're in passing, what is a PhD? The reality of a PhD is permanent head damage. A person who got permanent head damage. And really all these PhDs are those who got, you see, simple things they can't understand. Or, if you translate it in Urdu, phera wa dimag. A person whose head is screwed on wrong on his head. One lady from Zimbabwe, many years ago, somebody sent some hadiah, some present, and wrapped it in newspaper. And in that part of the newspaper where there were letters to the editor, and a non-Muslim lady, she wasn't a Muslim lady, she had written a letter which I read there, she says, I'm a proud PhD. What is that? PhD, permanent house dweller. In other words, the true parda. Not that you go outside with a abaya which is so shining and you attracting attention, but that you stay at home. That is the real parda. Only of absolute necessity, then you go out of your house. And this woman says, I'm a proud PhD, permanent house dweller. So anyway, so Mufti Sahab asked him, do you need a PhD to know how to throw peels? He said, yes. He says, see, we have eaten, around us are poor people, they didn't even get one mango. Their children also desire to eat. It comes in the hadith, when you cook food and the smell of it goes to your neighbor's house, then add some water to it, make it more soupy. Make, in other words, increase the volume and send some to them also. In our times, you're having a bride, If your neighbors are poor, send a little bit to them also. They get the smell, and the poor children especially. The parents, grown up people can still make sabr, but the poor children sometimes they speak also that we don't have food also. See our neighbors, what they are eating, and that smell, it burns that hunger and makes it even more. So anyway, so he said there are poor people around us, they don't get to eat. So take the peels, and in those days they were not refuse burns. As in an advanced country they'll have refuse burns. They just put the dirt outside the house, and the municipal worker will come and pick up all the dirt. So if you put it all one place, they will think this one family, they ate so many mangoes and we couldn't even see one. So put it, spread it out. Then they'll think different people eat. How not they thought of the feelings of people. Say Maulana Mia Asghar Hussain Sahib, another instance of his, which is not related but very beneficial. He used to be very paban regular on his wazifas, ibadat. He made zikr and a lot of wazifas he should read. Winter, Isha namaz is very early. And after Isha, the whole area is like dead. People already in their homes. In winter, in summer, people still sit outside, move around. But winter, quickly the people are, because it's cold, people are in their homes. So he should read his wazifa still quite late after Isha in the masjid. And by the time he went home, it was late, quiet, sannata, no one walking around. And he had to pass a woman's house who sold herself, a prostitute. He had to pass her house also. So when he should come to near her house, he should take out his sandals that were made of wood. He should take them out, and when he passes her house, then he should wear them again. Somebody noticed it sometime. They asked him, Hazrat, why you do this? He says that this lady, she's gone old now. Now she's not getting customers. So when she heard the tip-tap of shoes coming late at night, she will think a customer is coming. And when she hears the tip-tap going away, she will lose heart. That the customer must have thought, I'm old, I'm not worth anything. And he went away. How much they thought of such people. This is what is called buzurgi. Not that I'm very park and clean and what I got to do with these filthy people. Even their feelings they looked after. This is what we have to learn. This is what makes a human being. So on one occasion, Mufti Sahib was eating also with Mahazrat Maulana Mia Asghar Hussain Sahib. After they ate, so all the leftovers, the dirt, so which we call dirt, he said, must I throw it away? He asked him again, you know how to throw it away. So he asked, how? So he said, all the crumbs, in a certain place there are a lot of ants, go and throw the crumbs there, so that the ants can eat it. Then this melon, etc. that we ate, the peel of it, go and throw it, a certain place there are a lot of goats there, the goats will eat that. The bones, there are certain place where there are a lot of cats and dogs, throw it for the cats and dogs. In this way, if we do, our refuse burn will go from full to quarter. And the things will be used in, use it for fertilizer in the garden, the other things. Don't just throw everything in the burn. And the saddest part, our workers who work in our houses, they have to throw it in the burn. And they see, my children are dying hungry at home. And yeah, I have to throw so much of food, good food, I have to throw it in the burn. What goes out from their heart? We can get this badduas, that is why we are in our riches and in our wealth, but we haven't got peace of mind. We haven't got happiness. With all our security, we haven't got security. All these things here hit back. They boomerang and hit back and hit hard against us again. We should consider all these people also. Therefore, the poor people, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's heart should go out for the poor people. Allah ta'ala also, he has got great time for the poor people, the needy people. And Allah gave the rich to look after the poor. So we should eat in this way. Today, there is recycling has become quite common. They throw everything in the right way, and it must be. Recycling was taught to us from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time. All the way, the correct adab of eating, etc. And then another very important aspect is also, we shouldn't be sitting down first and waiting for the food to come. We shouldn't be, the food is down, commonly the food is put down and then we come. That is not correct. We should sit first and then the food should come. Because the food is the VIP. We are not VIPs. Without, if we don't eat the food, if we don't eat, we'll have a problem. We are in need of food. Food is not in need of us. And to understand this is so easily, if there is a court case, magistrate's court, any court, and all the people are settled, the people sit down, everything is arranged, then finally His Highness, the magistrate, will come in and take the place. And after the hearing, nobody is allowed to stand up, or nobody is allowed to leave the court. An announcement, stand in court. All must stand. The magistrate leaves first. Then the rest are allowed to leave. So first we must sit down. Then the great honorable guest food, then it must be brought. And the food must be taken away first. We had the food, we must respect the food. After that we must get up. The food is already waiting there and we are not coming. That is not correct. We are showing as though we are not in need of the food. The food can wait for us. We have to wait for the food, not the food that must wait for us. And after we eat, everything is all still on the dastarkhan, we get up and we go away. Yes, if there are some people still going to eat, or if it is necessary, even let one small child sit at the dastarkhan. And the others have to leave, they can get up. But let there be somebody sitting. Or after the man ate, the woman are going to eat there. Then let somebody sit and the man can go away. Then the woman can sit there, whatever the case may be. So we are in need of the food. So this is also very important that we eat, that we learn this adab and bring. If we want the noor of sunnat and barakat, this is how we'll get it. Not just that we just got a beard, got topi, and I'm in sunnat, and why my life is not coming right, why things are not coming right. These sunnats are also all extremely important. And for every sunnat in these days, 100 shaheed sawab. And every sunnat, our mind cannot reach there. But scientists are proving that the perfect way of life, which Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, that sunnat ka tariqa ashal tariqa. It is the easiest. If you have to sit on table and chair, and today what? How much you pay for the dining room suite? How much you pay? You just sit down on the floor. How many people you can accommodate on the floor, you'll never be able to accommodate on the table. Yeah, it is so simple. And the sitting postures also are important, that we adopt them also. For health, it is extremely good that we sit according, either we just sit with our, like in a tahiyyat position. Or even better, we sit how? We sit in the toilet. That is also difficult to explain today. Everyone just uses high toilet. But on the flat toilet, how you sit, like that. And in fact, with your right big toe over the small left toe, which most of us can't do also. Our stomachs are also so big or that, we'll tumble down backwards, we won't be able to sit like that. This is how agile and fit the Sahaba were. They could sit like that. And on one occasion, this is a sabak of Bukhari Sharif, and Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulan Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, was teaching Bukhari Sharif. And the sabak comes that when supper is ready and Isha namaz is ready at the same time, like half past seven going to be Isha, and half past seven supper is also ready. Now what must you do? Must you have your supper first, or must you go for namaz first? Hey? So the ruling, the masala is, eat your supper first, then go for Isha. And the reason for that is, if you are hungry and your whole namaz, you'll think of food. So you made your whole namaz food. And if you are going to eat, and you got worry of your jamaat namaz, while you're eating, you'll worry about your jamaat. So you made your eating namaz. Instead of making your namaz food, make your food namaz. You are worried about it. So students asked Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, in that case, jamaat will be finished. That we, for us, it takes so long to put the dastarkhan and all our dishes. The utensils that we use, I usually say that previously 10 people should eat in one utensil. That one big thali, all people should eat in there. And there was so lot of, we don't understand in sunnah, when you sit all together to eat, Allah puts barakat also. And shifa also in that food. But today, so much our minds, good people's minds are corrupted, that if you drink from somebody else's glass, you'll get sick, germs. There is shifa in there, there is no germs in there. There is shifa in there. And then another very important thing, there is muhabbat in there. All of us must be knowing, or we will explain this masala briefly, that if a strange man comes to the house, and they drink tea, water, anything, and they left over something, water in the glass, the woman of the family, of the house must not drink that. Why? That is the masala. The reason for it is there is the effect of love carried forward. That woman, when she'll drink, the love of that man can come into her. So therefore she must not drink of it. So that is prohibited in Islam. But when you're eating together today, why is there no love between husband and wife? Why is there no love and respect between parents and children? We're all eating separately. If we eat together in one utensil, then Allah will put that muhabbat again. And we want to go to counselors to get the solution. That we're not having love about, we're fighting too much all the time. Eat together. The amount of illnesses, diseases that have spread. Because, yeah, Allah put shifa. Su'urul mu'min fihi shifa. There is shifa in the leftovers of a mu'min. So we should try and sit together and eat also. So anyway, for us to put the dastarkhan down will take us so long. You need a big plate, you need a small plate, you need a side plate, you need a bowl, a fork, a spoon, and what you need. As far as this fork is concerned, one time, one great alim of Egypt, of Azhar University, Jamia Islamia in Azhar, he was visiting India maybe 50, 60, 70 years ago. In his travels, he went to Darul Uloom Deoband also, where he ate meals with Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali, who was really a walking library. On one occasion, this was when he was just a few hours before he passed away, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali asked him one masala. And he gave a 15-minute detailed discussion, the pros and cons, all the arguments for and against, everything. They said they thought that Hazrat just studied it now. That's why it's fresh in his mind. He said, this I looked 15 years ago, I studied this. And it's so fresh. What a memory Allah Ta'ala had blessed him. Anyway, so they were eating together with Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali. Two things I can mention, that when Hazrat Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali was passing away, and it was famous, it was his last days, that news will come any time, that was his condition, weak, feeble, etc. So the news spread that 3 o'clock in the morning, and just as we read now, that you don't talk about it until you are sure. So about 3-4 o'clock in the morning, news spread, Hazrat passed away. And Hazrat was living out of the town. Deoband town, a little bit out of the town. So Mufti Shafi Sahib, the students who were ardent lovers, slaves of their ustad and their sheikh, they ran and they saw a lantern burning. They said, "You must be. The lights are on." Otherwise, at this time, no lights will be on. When they got there, they saw Hazrat crouching over a kitab, studying a kitab. They told Hazrat, "At this time and this age of yours, and you're still studying, if there is any masala, which masala is it that you don't know? And if there is something you want to know and find out, we are your slaves. You tell us, we'll check it up and we'll give you everything ready." Then slowly, gradually he said, "Ye bhi ek bimari hai." There is also one illness just to study all the time. You become such a habit and such a pet, a hobby of yours that you can't do without it. And Allahu Akbar, what a hobby of studying, Maulana. Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has been a proven first class principal of an institute. How he ran Darulum for how many years, the mastership he had in running an institute. One of the things he knew when he had made out an ustad, he's still young, he's not even married, but there's a man that we need, we must keep him in our Darulum. What he should do, he should get him a house built in Deoband. Now when your house is there, you don't go out of the town. Especially in those days. The other is, he should get him married in Deoband. Once he's married, because a man, the wife pulls him away. Magnet is so strong. If she's from another town, she pulls him away there. So get him married and give him a house here, this man will stay here. So Allama Anwar Shah, what qualities he had. So he wanted to keep him, got him married, had a house built for him also. And then, when he got married, then 2-3 days pass, women, they meet one another, all the women folk. So the other woman asked his wife, "How's it going?" Like common woman, the friends who of the, they ask, "How's it going?" So he said, "What's going? Nothing is going." He's such a great buzurg. He from after Isha till Fajr Azan, his kitab is open in front of him. He's studying all the time. Nothing happens to him. What happened? I sleep in my room. He is busy with his kitab. He didn't come by you. He didn't touch you. Nothing. He said, then you touch him. If he didn't touch you, you make some charity with him. You go to him. So that night then she went and she played with him a little bit. Then he said, oh, for ye to koi aur dunya hai. This is another world. I didn't know about this world also. I only knew the world of the kitabs. And today ours is completely opposite. So anyway, they were eating together, and the sheikh from Egypt told him that they eat with spoon and fork, commonly Arabs, Egyptians also, common it is. So he told him, you also eat with spoon and fork. So he said, I am eating with a fork. And immediately he made his hands like this, four fingers. And he said, this is a fork, natural. And he said, my fork is better than your fork by four ways. The first is that my fork can feel the temperature of the food. Now, how hot is, sometimes if you put something too hot in your mouth, how it burns you, tea or anything. So I got a thermometer here. It feels the temperature whether it's suitable for my mouth or not. Second, my fork bends easily. So I catch my prey, my food very easily, I put it in my fingers. Your fork, I see you people with the spoon and a knife and fork, that piece of meat is running this direction, that to get hold of it is a problem. Whereas we just catch it easily. Third is my fork, but if I have to hit my teeth, my gums, no problem, by mistake. With your fork, if you hit by mistake, blood comes out. You get a pain, you feel a pain in there also. And the fourth is that my fork, after I've eaten, it gives off a fluid. And it's sunnah to lick your fingers after eating, that digests your food. It helps in your digestion. And your fork can't do that. And I made three additions to it. My addition with an E, I made three additions with an A. The first is that my fork is made by Allah. Allah made fork. And your fork is made by Japan, by Malaysia, Indonesia, China. And if it's Chinese made, halfway in your meal, your fork will break. Before you can finish your meal, your fork will be broken. And the second is the whole world today is concerned about cleanliness and hygiene. My fork, I washed it myself. Sunnah to wash your hands before eating. That is also a sunnah that many of us are giving up. We must wash. It saves us from poverty. It saves us from diseases. The best antibiotic is water. So and that is why sunnah not to dry your hands after you wash, before eating. After eating, you wash your hands, you can dry them. But before that, let the wetness be there. And don't say, 1 hour ago I washed my hands. And now I don't have to wash it again. It must be, the limit must be, your hands must be still wet when you start eating. And so that is true. And the third is the greatest, that my fork, this fork, is the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And your fork is the tariqah of the enemies. And then one lady from Reunion, Allah reward her, she added one more point also. She said that, with my fork, I can clean my whole plate, which is sunnah also. And that plate means dua for the person. And you don't know in which part of the food Allah has kept the barakat. So you might eat the whole meal, but the barakat you left, you're throwing it out in the dustbin. You clean your plate. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, when the man used to eat and the dishes should come, I should know exactly from which dish Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate. So much he cleaned it. So we should clean it properly. So Allah gave us that. So that is also one important aspect as far as our eating is concerned. Another aspect which is very important, once we were having a walima dawat here in Azadwan, and Maulana Ayyub Kachwi, who is the General Secretary of the Jamiatul Ulama, we were friends, we taught together, we're from the same town in Germiston also. So we were sitting and eating and being informal and free. While eating, he pointed his finger to me like this. He said, Maulana, khane ke darmiyan, aap pani na pijiye. Aapki sehat bahut achhi rahegi. While you are eating, don't drink water. Your health will be very good. And Maulana is about 75 or more, I think, round about there. But his health, Allahu Akbar. A very, very disciplined person. And his health is so perfect. So anyway, he told me that. And I learned a few things from this. That a person who makes amal himself, then a person takes effect on a person. Otherwise, while eating, not to drink is very hard. You need that lukma dhakir to push it down. One person was invited by the king for meals. So he took his son along also. And they ate what food by the king, what menu, what food. So the son every now and then was drinking water. When they came out from there, the father gave him one slap. He said, water you get at home also. This food, yeah, this you won't get at home. This is what you had to eat. So the son said, Daddy, I was pushing it down with the water so I could eat more. So the father gave him another slap. He said, why didn't you tell me before? So I also could do the same thing. I also could eat more. So anyway, it's difficult to give up the water. But yeah, I saw, now it may be easily 20 years. Alhamdulillah, Allah saved me also. Very rarely, occasionally, perhaps some Jews special, they said they made it at home. I'll have a, otherwise I don't have. And the wisdom behind it is, Hakims also say, that while eating, don't drink anything cold. And half an hour minimum, some say up to 2 hours before meals also don't have anything cold, and after meals also. After that, drink water. 8 to 10 glasses, very essential for the body. Today that also we are very negligent. We can't drink water. If we drink, we are drinking cold drink. Drink plain water, 8 to 10 glasses, and many, many of our illnesses will just vanish, will get flushed out with that water. So anyway, the explanation of this is that when we see food, we hear food, we smell about food, water comes in the mouth. We all feel because we listen for the food. We enjoy to eat, that's why water came in the mouth. That's not the reason. That is just by the way. Like before rains, that cool breeze that comes. Hey, that is, and it makes you feel so nice, that cool breeze. But that it's not actually to make you feel good. It is the whole weather pattern that it is preparing for the rains which are going to come. And in that also, it's giving a message to the house lady that your windows are open, rains are coming. Go close your curtains, your house will get wet. Your washing is lying outside. You put some things to dry outside on in the platters. Quickly go and bring it in. It gives a message also. But anyway, So this water that comes in the mouth, it is because you're going to take delivery of food now. And to digest it, you need this like a machine, you're going to work. So they tell you, you must put oil. And keep on every now and then, put a drop of oil. You have to oil that machine. So this has to be oiled with that water to digest. The saliva in the mouth is very, very important to digest the food. And if person have got nice saliva, his food gets digested properly. It mixes with the food and that food. So like if you're going to take delivery tomorrow morning, you ordered goods, lot of goods. You prepare for it before, your warehouse, you clear up everything. No cars must be parked in the way, the truck is going to come, delivery going to take place. So this delivery is going to take place. And not only the mouth gets ready for the delivery, the whole system of the stomach gets ready. Now, if your engine is hot, you prepared it, and you go and put frozen water on it, you seize your engine. You will destroy your engine. So this cold water, and we want it extra cold. But how much of ice? And an American doctor writes that to drink fizzy drinks, these drinks, cold drinks, with gas in it, that actually deep freezes your stomach. Not only shuts it off the machine, it deep freezes your stomach. So now when you eat the best food, you went and look for health food. And the most delicious you had prepared. You prepared all that. And now when it comes into, when you have to eat it, you switch off your machine. The computer Allah has put in the stomach when man didn't even know what is C. How to spell a computer, the first letter they didn't know. Allah put a computer already in the stomach. You got a sore on your toe. You go to doctor, he tells you take this tablet. And when you take the tablet, you put it in your mouth. The sore is there by your leg, but you're putting the tablet in your mouth. And from your mouth, it's going to your stomach. Where it's going to your leg? But the computer, Allah fitted in, it will send it there. You eating carrots, good for your eyes, the computer will send that effect to the eyes. You eat badam, almonds, walnuts, very good for the brain. The stomach computer sends that effect to the brains. You eat apple, very good for the heart. It's the stomach, the computer that won't send it to your nails there. For your nails you need some, so the computer, the stomach. So you shutting it down. And you deep freeze it. And in fact, if we carry on like that, our whole engine, our stomach system gets seized. Now all you do is fill your stomach when you eat. And it just passes through and it goes to the toilet. What the stomach's work was to take out the benefit from there, the stomach couldn't do it. Because you shut it down. You poured down cold, cold water. So a person, and drinking little bit of tea or anything hot, if you can, who can manage, but may drink your water room temperature at least, if you, and don't take much, very little if you have to have, but room temperature. And even better if it's a little hot. Now in the West they are saying we should follow the way of the East. In India, Japan, China, they all drink hot tea. Not this milk tea, but the green tea. They drink it with food, so it digests it. One person went to a Pathan, Afghani. Pathan Sahib, he had a Khan Sahib, his tea shop. So he said, Khan Sahib, green chai pilai. Give me green tea. Khan Sahib never heard of green tea in his life. So he banda khuda ka kya bakta hai, kya bolta hai. What are you saying? What you want? He said, green chai pilai, green tea. So he thought for a while and he deduced. He said, do rupiye ki chai mangta hai aur usme guarantee mangta hai. That you are asking for 2 rupees tea, which costs 2 rupees, and you want guarantee in that also. He thought green tea is guaranteed. So anyway, something hot while eating, that is beneficial. So this is very, very important. The way of eating must also, you can eat the most healthiest. You are eating fruit and all, but learn to chew it also. And your juice also. The best is the juice you make yourself at home. That is genuine juice. The juice that we buy, one friend of Maulana Mazhar Sahib, our Sheikh's son, Rahmatullah in Karachi, he told Maulana Mazhar, I started juice business, only money I'm making. He says it's 95% water, 99%, only water, and only some concentrate, not concentrate also, some essence. Yeah, the power, whatever, not the genuine fruit also. And the way they advertise it, they know how to play with the law, that they're genuine this and genuine this. It, he says nothing, it's only water. Water which might cost you 1 rupee a liter, I'm selling it at 100 rupees a liter. Just by adding that little bit of essence to it. And pomegranate juice, they're very good for the heart. I must get this. Or apple juice, very good for this. There's no apple in there. You are just fooling. If you make your own apple juice at home, then. And also, that fruit juice is not as healthy as the fruit. When just eat the fruit, that is the best. And food and fruit especially is our best medicine. Your medicine is not, you don't need any other medicine. If we eat correctly, eat the right fruit, you don't need medicine. Your food is your medicine and fruit is the best medicine. Whatever the medicine is, they have extracted it from here. So you just eat the natural fruit, that is the best. Also we should eat, Inshallah we'll carry on tomorrow. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah.